like to open the hearing in docket DW-13. Docket 13-305. This is Lorden Commons Sewer Company. It's a permanent rate request and also some issues regarding its franchise authority. And just to remind you, we're taping this rather than having a stenographer here today in order to save some costs for the company. So people be sure to use the microphones and speak not over each other so that the tape will be clear if it ever needs to be transcribed. I'd like to begin first with appearances, and then we can talk about the issues that are anticipated for this docket. Mr. St. Cyr?
Good morning. My name is Stephen P. St. Cyr, and with me is Paul Kerrigan, representing Lorden Commons Sewer Company.
Good morning. My name is Jim Toss, and I'm in the process of my wife and I are purchasing a home there in Lorden Commons.
Thank you. How do you spell your last name?
T-U-L-L-I-S. And we're property that we're have finalized, and we're just in the process of getting construction going with the construction company. We're on lot 26.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Planning Commission, Marshall Oz Brown on behalf of staff. With me today is Mark Naylor, Robert Ducoto, and Jason McClan. Thank you.
Good morning. So, as I understand in looking at the file, Lorden Commons Sewer Company was authorized for the franchise back in 2011, but it, under the state law that requires that you that the statute uses, that you exercise the franchise within a two-year period. I guess there was some question whether it actually had been exercised, and is that franchise authorization stale at this point and needs to be reviewed once again. Is that correct?
If I could speak to that, there seems to be a factual issue. The company received the approval July of 2011, and there seems to have been a house that may have taken service in July of 2013. So this is a fact, issue of fact, that I think staff needs to work out with the company.
All right. Obviously, our interest is making sure that everything is appropriately regulated, and if there is service already under what rates, we want to just get everything lined up and be as clear going forward for all customers. And so I think during the course of this case, it will be important to get that clarified, and if there is a need to reevaluate the franchise issue, that could be blended into the rest of the case without delaying it or turning it into something considerably larger than it is. So the company has filed proposed rates for what would ultimately be a development of 132 homes, according to the order of notice. I guess in the normal course, what we do in a pre-hearing conference is to ask the positions of the parties of issues that they expect to come up, any matters that they think may be require commission involvement in difficulties regarding confidentiality or other kind of twists and turns in the statutes. So, Mr. St. Cyr, can you give us an overview of what you expect in this case, any particular issues you anticipate coming up, or what you think will be the anything in the resolution of the case has been filed that you anticipate?
Sure. I have a preliminary summary prepared, so I'll work from that and then be prepared to answer any questions that either you or the staff might have. In docket D11-139, the Public Utilities Commission approved Lorden Commons Sewer Company's request for a new franchise in the northeast portion of the corner of London area. The franchise enables the company to provide sewer service for a residential subdivision known as Lorden Commons. The development is being constructed by Timber Builders and consists of single-family homes. The initial phase, phase one, will consist of 50 homes. It's being built over a two-year period, beginning in the summer of 2013. The sewer system is owned and operated by the company. The system collects sewage from the development and delivers it by gravity and force main into the city of Manchester. The sewer plant consists of a pumping station, pumping equipment, a receiving well, mains and services. The sewer system was placed in service in the summer of 2013. The system was funded by Timber Builders and contributed to the company. The sewer plant and the related contribution and aided construction have been added to rate base. The company did incur some minimal operating expenses in 2013, but has no actual annual costs to work from. As such, it is estimated what those annual operating expenses will be. In order to do so, the company used actual 2012 operating results from two PUC regulated sewer companies that St. Cyr and Associates manages. And one of those two sewer companies is actually set up similar in that it collects sewage from the development and then pumps that sewage to the city of Manchester. The estimated annual operating costs are actually the average of the two companies. If the rate file is accepted as submitted, the company would realize annual revenue requirement of $11,616. This annual revenue requirement would enable the company to cover its projected annual cost and to allow it to earn a rate of return on its rate base. The average residential customer would pay $232.32 per year. The company is proposing to make the initial sewer rate effective from the date the service was provided to the customers. Lord and Common Sewer Company respectfully requests the commissioners to accept this filing in support of its request for the initial sewer rate. The company looks forward to working with the PUC staff and believes that it will be able to reach a settlement agreement that can be presented to the commissioners at a later date for approval. Finally, the company would like to invite the commissioners and the staff to tour the system and the development at some future date. Thank you.
Thank you. The two regulated sewer companies that you're looking to build the estimated annual operating expenses are what?
Bedford Waste Services and Bogwell Waste Services. Bogwell Waste Services is the company that's set up similar and that is collecting sewage and pumping for the city of Manchester. And the information that the company used from those two companies are public information. Primarily out of the public utilities, PUC annual reports.
Thank you.
Chairman Ignatius,
yes.
Staff has prepared a pre-hearing statement to deliver, and just prior to the commissioners walking in, Mr. Tullis arrived, so he's unfamiliar with the proceeding, and I wasn't able to talk to him about whether he would want to formally intervene. Staff would offer to have that discussion at the technical session, or we could have it openly here, but staff is prepared to move on with its statement if you wish, or Mr. Tullis could offer his.
Why don't you go ahead, and then Mr. Tullis, if there's anything you'd like to add, whether you're an intervener or not, if you want to just make a comment, you're welcome to. But why don't you go ahead, Ms. Brown?
Thank you. Staff will be conducting its normal rate case review, looking at the rate base, looking at the revenue requirement, the components within the revenue requirement, and will be prepared to offer its position either through testimony or settlement agreement as the proposed procedural schedule will require or will establish. Staff has already proposed a procedural schedule with the company. It's likely that we will have one later today to submit in writing to the Commission for approval. As earlier discussed, Lorton received its franchise approval on July 22nd, 2011, in docket DW 11-139. And given that rates were not suspended until December 19th, 2013. In this docket, the question of fact arises as to whether Lorden has exercised its franchise right within the two-year period. Staff will be fleshing that issue out in discovery. If it is found in discovery that the two-year window was not met, staff will be prepared to go through its usual assessment of the company's managerial, technical, and financial expertise to operate the system. Lorden had asked for waivers of certain filing requirements, which the Commission has already taken care of in its suspension order, but regardless of whether the information was not provided up front, if staff feels that it needs the information, it will ask that information in discovery. With respect to permit rates, the company has never charged rates. It has a homogeneous customer group. It's just made of or comprised of residential customers. Staff will be looking at the company's proposal in its filing that rates be effective from the date service was provided to customers. There is a slight concern by staff in that the date of service may have started in July of 2013, but customers were not notified of the order concerning rates until December 2013. So the proposal by the company is to have rates effective back prior to customers had actual notice. So staff will be raising that issue with the company and working out what a suitable effective date should be. As noted in the filing, Chinberg Builders has provided a lot of construction of the system and thus triggers contribution in need of construction, and Kayak is normally kept out of rate base and not allowed in revenue requirement, and the company has provided for that in its schedules. As Mr. St. Cyr noted, he's well-versed in how Bedford and Bogwell operate the their systems, and at least if he had to provide estimates for Lorden Commons operating expenses going forward, he had a good basis for those estimates. So staff is thinking initially that those estimates are likely in the ballpark. Because the costs are estimates, there will be a usual audit of the books and records. Other than that, staff looks forward to working with the company and hammering out a proposed procedural schedule and going forward with the discovery. Thank you.
Commissioner Scott?
Good morning. Just a couple quick questions. So just for my edification, so it looks like you're planning ultimately in the relatively near term for 132 customers. Is that a household? Is that correct?
50 was the initial phase one over the course of a two-year period, and then depending on the economy and the market, the subsequent phases would come on later.
Okay, that's right. Okay, so it's 50 plus potential for 82.
That's correct.
And in how many customers do you actually have right now?
We have two customers and four under agreement.
Okay. And I guess this will be fleshed out, so clearly, as you build, and hopefully you'll, I don't know if you're selling in advance, or but there'll be a, you're not going to, it's not going to be binary in that you have, you flip the switch and all your customers are on, there'll be, this will be a growth type thing, I assume.
That's correct.
And I assume that's reflected in your filing, how that would work for, to estimate your rate, how are you working that in?
The company's estimated what the annual expenses would be associated with the 50 homes, and then are dividing that by the number of customers that are actually being served. So the company would receive essentially 1/50th of the revenue requirement from each customer as they get added to the system.
Okay. And this is more of a comment and absolutely no reflection on what you're doing. I have observed in the past for small utilities that perhaps they could be best served to look at long-term planning, and I would suggest, since you're kind of at the beginning of this adventure, that you keep that in mind also. I'm not suggesting you don't, you're not doing that, but but I think everybody would be well served to make sure, looking at the long term also as you move forward, would be important also. Just a comment.
Thank you.
That's all I have.
I have no questions.
Mr. Powers, was there anything you wanted to add?
Yes, Madam Chairman, I would like to make a couple comments here.
Please.
I'm speaking as a potential homeowner there, and my wife's name, by the way, is Barbara Tullis. And I'm referring to a letter that was dated January 6th that came from Eric Timber to the customers. I don't know how far this was dispersed, but it came to us. I'm a little bit familiar with sewer charges and how they're determined by water usage from a community that we once lived in, and so I'm a little bit familiar with what some of the issues that your chair there is dealing with, as well as the other members here in the room. And what directly concerned me was in the second paragraph of this letter, he makes a note that says, please note that the town of Londonderry sewer fees, based on individual customer water use, will be passed on to each customer for payment. Now, keep in mind that all of these homes here, it's a little bit different than a normal city or town that might have some type of a sewer system that's installed in the city limits, and or maybe on town or city water. All these homes, to my knowledge, are going to be on a well. There is really no way of you measuring water usage that is going to be used in one of these homes unless some type of a metering device is put in the home. Once that metering device is put in the home, then you got to figure out how you're going to get in the home to measure it or to read the meter or make a determination as to what the usage has been. So I'm not complaining necessarily, as what was also stated in this letter, and the annual amount here has already been stated, I believe, by the attorney, of $232.32. That's not what's bothering me. What's bothering me is, how are you going to determine what the water usage is, if that's going to be added on to it, or is that in lieu of? So I just don't know to what extent this is going to be, but being a homeowner there, I'd sure like to have this reconciled before we get too far down the road. But thank you so much for your time.
Well, thank you for raising that. We haven't seen that letter, but Mr. St. Cyr, do you know, is this Londonderry sewer charge in addition to the Lord Commons sewer charge? And I guess maybe help me, why is Londonderry assessing the charge if the sewage is going to Manchester?
The letter did indicate,
it's right there in the middle of the page.
Yeah, the letter did indicate that there would be an individual customer charge based on what Londonderry is charged from the city of Manchester. But subsequently, we too have recognized that there are no meters, there's no ability for the company to determine what that usage is. There's no ability for Londonderry to provide us with that. So we're now trying to get an estimate from the town of Londonderry that should be incorporated in our annual expenses in order to cover whatever that fee is. So the letter that went out to this individual, that piece of it may not be exactly right.
So that's obviously something that needs to be really explored,
yes,
during the course of this, for clarity to the customers and to the company.
Yes.
And of the customers, the two that are already receiving service, am I right about that?
Yes, yes, we
are. Are they being charged for sewer service right now?
No, they are not.
So there's no suggestion of charging without authority because no rates have been approved.
That's correct.
Is your intent, as Ms. Brown said, to backbill once approval is granted for rates?
we're authorized to do so.
So obviously that would be another issue to be explored during the case, during the course of the docket, and what notice those customers may have been given, any particular contractual terms that give them an understanding that that would be something that we would look at as well. Also along those lines, in our order, December 19th order, it required the company to send copy of the order to all current and known prospective customers, and also to serve on the town clerk. Was that done?
Yes, it was.
And do we have an affidavit to that effect?
Yes, we do.
Thank you. I don't think we have any other questions. We obviously will await a proposed procedural schedule, and if Mr. Tullis, if you have a chance to talk with everyone about what intervention means and whether you would want to formally intervene, we would take up any request for intervention that you might file. But you should understand, and Ms. Brown will explain this to you, there's no requirement. You can be heard in a docket without formally intervening. You always have the opportunity to come to a hearing and make a statement without testifying. You have a right to sit in on any technical sessions that we have here that are working sessions to talk about questions in the filing. And so it's not, intervention isn't the only way to participate. And intervention does involve more work sometimes than people really want to get into, so it's something to weigh. But I'll leave you to discuss more of that off the record. Is there anything else before we adjourn? Nothing. Then thank you, everyone, for your participation, and we'll look forward to a report of your meeting afterwards.
Thank you.